Welcome to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We are currently with Pastor Nate looking through the book of Romans. Feel free to open up your Bible and follow along with us.
He's like, I don't want you to be unaware. I've tried to come to Rome. It hasn't worked out yet. Now, we ended the book of Acts. If you were with us, Paul got to go to Rome. He wrote this letter before he went there, and then finally he got to go to Rome. Unfortunately, the conditions in which he got to go to Rome were less than first class, less than vacation. It wasn't like he was going to see the Vatican. He was actually bound in chains in prison on their way to go stand before Roman officials on trial. And ultimately, he'd be let go, but then he would return back to Rome in prison, and that's where Paul would lose his life. So Paul is writing to them, so it's unique because he'd never been there. It's also unique because the main subject of the book is God. Now, you're like, that's kind of obvious. Well, most of the epistles, the main subject of the book is actually the church, and it's how the church can follow God. But the book of Romans is unique because the primary subject is God. Paul in this book is going to paint a picture. The book of Romans is, it's unique for a lot of reasons, but it basically builds on top of each other as it goes. Paul is going to paint a picture. He's going to begin by addressing them. Then he's going to start telling them that all people have sinned. And because people have sinned, humanity deserves the wrath of God. Then he's going to transition and he's going to talk about, although humanity deserves the wrath of God, because of the grace of God, they can actually escape God's wrath, because the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. So now humanity, if they hide behind Jesus, can have right relationship with God. And he's going to talk about salvation. He's going to talk about sanctification, which is once you're saved, the process that God uses to take you from really a broken, sinful person into a useful person in his kingdom. He's going to talk about salvation, and then he'll end by giving them some practical application for them as they walk with Jesus. And so it's all going towards something. He's walking through the Christian life and experience. It's almost as if God and salvation is on trial, and Paul is standing in the courtroom giving his appeal, giving his address as to why God has done the things he's done. That's kind of how the book of Romans plays out. So as we begin this morning, we're gonna see Paul's address to the Romans and what he sees in them and for them. And I've called this message this morning, Who You Are. Who You Are. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says this: Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he, God, promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him, we've received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. Two, so that's Paul's introduction. He's talking about himself. He talks about Jesus. And then he says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, he introduces himself as an apostle and a bondservant. Paul's main, what he liked to call God the most was Lord. All the time, Paul calls Jesus Lord, because he recognized that Jesus is king. Jesus is in charge. He's master. He is Lord. And because God is Lord, Paul would often refer to himself as a bondservant. God is in charge, and I am the servant of God. And so he introduces himself as Paul, an apostle and a bondservant. And then he tells us specifically that he was called by God for a specific task. He says, Paul, and a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel. And as Paul explains who he is and who the Romans are, we see insight into the way God works. Number one, you could jot this down: called and separated. Paul begins by talking about how he and the Romans were both called and separated. He says that he was called by God and separated to the gospel of God. Paul's position was a result of God's placing. Paul's position as an apostle and as a bondservant and as someone separated to the gospel was a result of God's call or placing. God called him. God was the one that initiated the relationship between Paul and God was the one that initiated the plans and purposes that God had for Paul's life. If you go back to the book of Acts, Paul was actually a Christian killer. He was on his way to murder more Christians. While he was going, a voice came from heaven, a light came from heaven, and God spoke to Paul and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul responds, he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "It's Jesus whom you're persecuting." And then he says, "Why are you doing this?" And Paul's kind of confused. And then he says, "I have chosen you to go and preach my message to the Jew and to the Gentile." So God, Paul is literally going his direction, living his life, doing whatever he wants. And God stops him in his tracks, calls him out, and then separates him for a specific task. Paul's position was a result of God's placing. And the same way, God has placed a calling on each one of us. Paul actually, when he was right, said to the Romans in verse 6, he said, "Among whom you also are called." So he says, "I've been called," and then he says to the Romans, "You also have been called," and we can take that from them and apply it to us. You also have been called and separated by God. He looks at you and he sees his purpose that he wants to accomplish through you, all because of what God sees. Many people act as if they called God. And what I mean by that is a lot of people view God as an addition to their team. They look at God like, "Hey, you can be a feature on my life album, but it's my album." It's kind of a lot of the ways people view God. Like, it's my life. I'm doing what I want to do. And God, you can feature on it. Like, you can be there, but at the end of the day, it's my team. It's my life. A lot of people view God as simply an addition. Listen, we don't call God onto our team. God has called us onto his team. God is going a direction. God is doing his thing. God is Lord. He's in control. He's in charge. And he, because of his grace, has actually called us to be featured on his album, but it's not the other way around. God has called us. God has chosen us. And a lot of people view God as an addition to their team. But in reality, it's through God's grace that we get to be a part of his team. And so God has called us. And we need to remember that. The reason that we get to sit here today, the reason that we get to pray to God, the reason that we can have relationship with God is not because of what we've done. It's not because we were like decent people. It's not because, you know, we just happen to be in the right family that goes to church. It's not because we were good enough or nice enough or we weren't bad as those people. The reason we get to have a relationship with God is because God called us. God initiated it. We get to stand here today because of God's placing. And then once we're called, Paul says, we are separated to God's gospel. He says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, God initiated, and then he says, and separated to the gospel of God. This word separated, it carries two ideas. Number one, it means to be set apart for a specific purpose. When he says, I was separated to the gospel of God, he means I was set apart, I was set aside for a specific purpose. We know the thing. We've got shoes that are separated. That are set apart for a specific purpose. Like, I wear these shoes for this. It might be for a sport. It might be for a special occasion. It might be for your first date. I don't know. But it's separated for a specific purpose. This is the same idea. When God calls us, he set us apart, set us aside for a specific purpose. God has something specific for your life that he wants you to walk in. And every relationship you have, every experience that you have, every place you've been, every place you go is a part of the purpose that God has for your life. I think for many of us, we think that one day we'll be used by God. Or one day I'll experience the purpose that God has for my life. One day I will step into my calling. You've heard that before, I'm sure. I'm going to step into my calling. I'm going to experience the call of God in my life. Let me tell you, you are walking in the call of God right now. You are in the call of God right now. What you do with that call is up to you. How you make the most of that call is up to you. But right now, currently, you are standing in the call of God. Why? Because he called you and he separated you. He's got a purpose for you. You just have to choose to see it. You just have to choose to walk in it. I think a lot of us view ministry or experiencing God's call as like some limited thing, like standing on a stage is ministry, or leading the worship team is ministry, or doing, no. Ministry is doing everything as unto the Lord. It's school, it's work, it's family, it's relationships. All of these things is ministry. It's how you choose to use those things allows you to experience the ministry that God has for you or not. You've been separated by God to a specific purpose. He set you apart. This word separated also carries a second idea. It means to exclude or disconnect, which that's not a word we really like. To be excluded. You ever been excluded, like left out of the group text? Like some of you are like, yes, I love being left out of group text. But it's like when everybody's doing this thing and you didn't get the invite, you didn't get the text that says, hey, we're meeting here. Being excluded is not fun. That's the word that he uses here. I have been excluded. I have been separated to the gospel of God. I think part of the reason he uses this word separated is because he wants us to understand that when we receive the call of God and we step into the purpose of God, we've been excluded from some things. There are things that God wants to exclude you from, things that you were never meant to experience that you would have experienced unless if it wasn't for God. There is pain, there's frustration, there is hurt, there is difficulty that God wants to exclude you from. God wants to say, you don't need to experience that. How? Well, it's when we respond to the call of God and go in the direction God wants us to, he excludes us from things that we would have experienced if we didn't step into that call. If we just lived our life our own way. If we would have just gone and done things our own direction, there's pain and frustration that you would experience. But because of the grace of God and because of the call of God, he wants to exclude you from those things. That's for other people. It's not for you. Not that God wants other people to experience that, but those that don't step into the call of God, they experience things that God never intended for anybody to experience. And so Paul says, I've been separated to the gospel. I've been excluded from some things so that I could experience this thing. And when you step into the call of God, when you experience that separation that he has called you into, there will be things that you will be excluded from. So he says he was called and separated. And then second point, he says to the gospel of God. He was called to something specific. He was called, and then there was a reason he was called. And he tells us that he was called and separated unto for the gospel of God. The word gospel is a popular word because it's an important word. We hear this all the time, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a church word, gospel, gospel. You'll hear it a lot. Really, the word gospel is really simple. It just means good news. So anytime you bring good news, you are sharing gospel. It's good news. And it carries another idea. It carries the idea to declare or to herald good news. It means that you've brought good news, you found out good news, and now you're sharing that with other people. Don't you like sharing good news with other people? It's like exciting, like something good happens to you, you want to tell somebody else about it. And the word gospel, that's kind of the idea. You've experienced good news, and now you want to share that good news with other people. And specifically, that good news is the message of Jesus. Paul would write to Timothy and say it just like this. I think this is a perfect, simple picture of the gospel. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, meaning it's been tested and it's been found true. It's worthy. Everybody should receive it. And he says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul says, this is the gospel. And everybody should hear about it, and everybody should place their faith in it. What is it? That Jesus Christ, God Himself, came into the world to save sinners. That's the message of the cross. That's the message of Jesus Christ, that there are sinful, broken people. Paul recognized it. He says, of whom I am chief. I'm like captain sinner is basically what Paul is saying. He says, I have sinned, I've messed up, and yet Jesus left heaven, came to earth that I might be saved. That's the message of the gospel. When we say gospel, we're saying that Jesus left heaven, came to earth to save sinners. So if anybody asks you, like, what's gospel? What's that word? The message is that God Himself came to earth. Jesus Christ came to earth to save sinners. That if you would just place faith in Him, your sins could be forgiven, and you could have right standing with God. That's the gospel. It's simple. It's a message that is, it's worthy to be accepted. It's been tested and found true. And Paul says he's been separated to this gospel. And then Paul gives some specifics about the gospel. Number one, he says it's been promised and proven. That this gospel was promised and proven. Look again at verse 2. He says in verse 1, to an apostle separated to the gospel of God, which God promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What he's saying is that the gospel wasn't some just when Jesus showed up like, we'll make it work. That in fact, God had plans to redeem humanity through Jesus Christ since the very beginning. We're told if you go all the way back to Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, when God creates heaven and earth, He creates people and that are in it, and then sin enters the world because the serpent comes, deceives Eve. There's this whole kind of ugly situation that happens, and then God speaks a promise over the serpent. He says, a day is going to come, and I'm going to send somebody, and you're going to strike his heel. He's speaking of Jesus. You're going to strike his heel, but he's going to crush your head. What's worse? I'm going to quote The Office. A foot injury or a head injury? What's worse? A head injury, right? A head injury is way worse. And the idea is that the cross is going to be that foot injury. That the devil's going to think he won by striking the foot of Jesus. Jesus dying on the cross. But what he didn't realize is that through death, Jesus defeated death. That through the cross, Jesus actually received power over death, over sin. And now Jesus stands forever as the resurrected king. And so he says, from the very beginning, a day is going to come that I'm going to send somebody. You're going to strike his heel, but he's going to crush your head. The very beginning, God had the plan of the gospel to be the way in which people could have relationship. So he says, it's promised. And he said, it's proven. Moving on, verse 2, he says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. In other words, Jesus came from the line of David, just as the Old Testament promised. And then he says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Paul's saying, not only was the message of Jesus promised, but it was also proven. Proven how? Well, Jesus fulfilled all prophecy, and he rose from the dead. The cross of Jesus shows God's love. The resurrection from the dead shows the power of God. It shows it's true. The Bible says that there was over 500 eyewitnesses that saw Jesus resurrected from the dead. Over 500 people said, yeah, I saw Jesus 3 days after he died. I kind of think that that makes it proven true, right? If you were in a court of law and they're like, do you have any eyewitness? You're like, yeah, I've got 500 eyewitnesses that saw this person commit the crime. After you got through a few of them and they all are saying the same thing, you'd be like, all right, case dismissed. The person is either guilty or innocent. The eyewitness validates the what happened. 500 eyewitnesses shows that Jesus, the gospel, is true. He says it's promised and proven, and then also that it's powerful. Jump down to verse 16 of this chapter. Paul is still writing on this idea of the gospel. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's an amazing verse for all of us to understand. Paul says, I'm not ashamed to be associated with Jesus. whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's in my family, wherever it is, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? He says, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God. It's been promised and proven, but it's also the power of God. To who? Everyone who believes. That the message of Jesus Christ, the simple message that Jesus Christ came to the earth to save sinners, that if anybody places faith in it, that message has power to save them and to transform their life. That the message of Jesus, it's so simple, yet so profound, that if you place faith in it, it will save your soul and it will transform your life. That's what God promised. He said, this simple message, just believe in it. Just have faith in it. Well, I'm confused by it. Place faith in it. I don't understand all the ins and outs of it. Okay, it has power enough to override any of your doubts. That the power of God in the gospel has the ability to save your soul and transform your life. But this power is only accessed to those who believe. He says the message of Jesus is it's promised, it's been proven, it's powerful, but it's only powerful to those who place faith in it. And he says, for in the message, righteousness is obtained, justification is obtained to anybody who places faith in it. So Paul says he's been called and separated. He's been called to the gospel of God. And then third thing I want you to see is who they're called to be. And you're called to be saints. He says, I've been called and separated. God called me. God picked me. It wasn't me. It was God. And then I've been called for something, for the gospel, to promote the gospel of God, to be a part of the gospel of God. And then he says who they're called to be. Paul addresses the Romans as called to be saints. Look at it there, verse 6. He says, among whom you also called of Jesus Christ to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now, saints is an interesting word because it's come to mean something different over time. When we think of like the idea of a saint, we picture like a giant cathedral named after some saint. Right? Like St. Jude's Hospital. And this person, Jude, was like an amazing person. So amazing, we named a hospital after him. Like, or we've got like St. Helens in our town, Catholic Church. And this is big, massive church. And it's named after this character, Helen, that was like a wonderful person. So we named a big church after her. Like, that's kind of our idea of saints. But that's not how the Bible uses the word saint. The word saint in the Bible is not exclusive for people that have just done like ridiculous thing, given like sold their house, gave all their money to the church so that they could build this church. So we're going to name it after you. That's not the idea of saint in the Bible. The Bible teaches anyone who has faith in Jesus is called to be a saint. Anybody that places faith in Jesus Christ is called to be a saint. Now notice in our text, in verse 7, it says that you are called to be saints. That kind of makes it sound like one day you will be a saint, doesn't it? You're called to be a saint. Like one day you'll be there. But notice also in your Bible, at least in my Bible, the words to be are italicized. You see that? In the Bible they're italicized. And what that shows us is that the editor, the person that edited this Bible and put it together in modern English, added those two words. Because they thought that it would help the sentence structure if they said called to be saints. That's not what Paul wrote at all. What Paul wrote in the original Greek is he wrote to the people in Rome, beloved by God, called saints. What he's saying is right now you are a saint. It's not like one day you're going to be a saint. Like after you died, then we're going to look back at your life. We'll go through the records and we'll see how nice you were to people, how much money you donated to the church, how many times you attended church. And then we'll decide whether or not you'll get to be a saint or not. The idea here is that you are already a saint. That through faith in Jesus, you automatically have become a saint. You are right before God. You are justified. You are righteous before God right now because of your faith in Jesus. It's not one day you will be a saint, but right now you are a saint.
Listening to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. Thanks for tuning in. We pray that this message has brought you closer in your relationship with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Pastor Nate's teaching, check us out online at middlegroundradio.com. And if you'd like to keep up with all that's going on, follow us on Instagram at Middle Ground Radio. Be blessed, and we hope to see you next time here on Middle Ground Radio.